Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus of our message is on the gospel reading from just a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 2, just highlighting this verse again. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with overwhelming joy. In the U.S. alone, more than 1.3 billion units are sold each week, just in the U.S. Globally, sales amount to more than 53 billion, that's B, billion dollars, and are on pace to hit nearly 90 billion worldwide by 2026. It's only been available in the U.S. since 1997, the general product, but has seen exponential growth in the last nearly 25 years. Any guesses what I'm talking about? If you want to hazard a guess? Not cell phones, well, that is a good guess. LED lights. Another good guess, LED lights. Both are wrong, but I'm going to keep going. The ads are everywhere. One of them are, well, I'll just say goofier than the next, and that might be a little bit of a hint. Over the years, of course, celebrity after celebrity has endorsed this general product, even though there are many brands. And the product, of course, has endorsed athlete after athlete and event after event. And what does this amazing product promise? Something that we all want, at least from time to time. And that's why 47% of the world's population uses it multiple times each week. Any guesses?
Toilet paper.
I'm not going to repeat that one. Shoes? No. What do we need? Energy. Energy drinks. Can you believe that? $53 billion worldwide on energy drinks. And here's what they promise. I'm just going to take 5-Hour Energy as an example. According to their website, 5-Hour Energy shots are packed with B vitamins and amino acids with zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. They are, and I quote, a no-nonsense way for working adults to stay bright and alert and better focused. Now, on a side note, some of you may be aware that several years ago, 5-Hour Energy was under investigation for such things as wrongful death, failure to back claims, and refusal to provide mandated paperwork. Attorneys general from 33 states got involved at the time. Now, there were no conclusive results, and the suits ended up all being dropped or settled. The issue wasn't, they say, the drink itself, but what they were combining the drink with that was the problem that caused 11 people to die taking 5-Hour Energy. And yet, it's still there, isn't it? It's still out there, along with about 24 most of the most popular energy drinks that are out there, offering different styles and different sizes and all kinds of different flavors. Makes you kind of wonder, though, what's going on that the attorneys general from 33 states would want to get involved with just one product. And it seems like there are so many other products out there that don't promise what they deliver on. I mean, have you seen the commercial? Actually, see what happened there. I kind of lost my focus, started going off on a tangent. Maybe I should have popped an energy shot this morning before I started preaching. That's the point, though, isn't it? That in this day where we have such a hard time staying focused on one thing, it's something, it's a precious commodity that we long for, that we want in our lives. And, well, aren't we blessed to be able to have it bottled and available on the shelf in nearly every convenience store across the country and many other places as well? I mean, we say to ourselves, if I could just focus, I could get more done. Well, I'm certainly not plugging, or don't mean to, plug energy drinks this morning. I do use it as a way to kind of step into this whole idea of focus. If you look at the Magi, the wise men, they are focused. Not just because they noticed a star in the sky, but they're focused because they realized that something big was happening. I mean, they had traveled a long time. We don't know exactly how long, but we do know that when they arrived in Jerusalem and then went on their way by a different route, Herod, in order to make sure that he wiped out the tiny king, had all the baby boys in Bethlehem killed under the age of 2. So it's pretty safe to say that these wise men had traveled so long, and when they had seen the star, it had been in the star for so long that Herod felt he needed to at least go 2 years to cover things. And not only that, consider that they traveled based on that one singular prophecy that we heard in the book of Numbers. Again, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. That's it. That's all they had. And they made it. Now, they did probably have some help. I mean, you and I would probably fail to see the connection in just those words and be watching for a star and figure out where to go and all of that. But they probably had some help from the prophet Daniel. At least that's the speculation. That he, under inspiration, had made a point of this star as a sign of the promised Messiah to come. And that these fellow wise men of Daniel, descendants still passing down this prophecy from generation to generation, continued to watch year after year, so that when that star finally appeared, they were ready for it. You know, they didn't even have the prophet Micah, because of course Micah came after Daniel. Micah, who in chapter 5 said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, from you will go out the one who will be the ruler for me in Israel. His goings forth are from the beginning, from the days of eternity." And so it's not surprising that the wise men traveled to the city of David rather than the town of David. They went to Jerusalem, the city of David, rather than Bethlehem, the town of David, in their search for the Christ child. It's often said at this time of year that wise men seek him still. That focused seeking of Jesus in our lives. But what causes you to lose your focus? As the star of Jesus continues to shine in our hearts and lives, what causes you to lose sight of him? We struggle so much with losing focus these days when it comes to seeking Jesus. I mean, the star for us isn't in finding Jesus. The Holy Spirit has already taken care of that. See, the struggle for us is in living for Jesus. Jesus described that defined living for him like this. He said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." Now notice that there isn't the word "most" in there at all, as if Jesus is saying, if you hold to my most important teachings, you're my disciples. Or if you hold to most of my teachings, you are my disciples. No, wise men, the spiritually wise, they seek Jesus where he is, not just where they want him to be. It's hard, though, because it requires us to think and be objective and actually apply his teachings, all of it. I mean, let's be honest, it's so much easier to just sort of feel our way through this whole spiritual thing, right? And we don't have to know anything, we don't have to be accountable for anything, because if I feel the way I feel, then it's my opinion, and you can't tell me that my opinion is wrong. In fact, I am so right that if you try to tell me something different than what I feel about what Jesus says, well, then you're being judgmental. You're being unloving. You see how it works? Talk about losing focus. Feeling your way through Jesus' teachings. I'm sorry, but that is the equivalent of a dog running through a park filled with squirrels. You just go anywhere you want, feel anything you want, think anything that you want, and who is anybody to question me? That's losing focus. Some years ago, I took a group of students on a field trip to, it was a presidential election year, and we went to an election rally for one of the candidates. Doesn't really matter who the candidate was, because they're pretty much all the same. But it was an interesting day. We got there super early because we knew there would be a big crowd. It was held at a local college. Lots of people. We barely got into the auditorium. And then everything started. I mean, there were bands playing and there were celebrities and there were people talking and whooping up the crowd and all kinds of things. The problem was that the candidate wasn't just running a little late. The candidate was running super late. And so the band started repeating songs and the celebrities that had stepped off stage had to come back on stage just to try to keep that emotion going so that when the candidate did finally arrive, spoke for about 10 minutes, lots of good one-liners to get great reactions from the crowd, but then he left and it was over. Didn't really say anything. I mean, if you came to that rally in order to learn something about the candidate's platform, you learned nothing. You were just there to get emotionally worked up. And I'll admit, it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of cheering and a lot of great music, and people said a lot of things that got great emotional reactions. But substance, there really wasn't much there. Now, I don't want to give anyone the impression that the Magi were wrong to stop in Jerusalem, or that because of some weakness they lost their focus and were emotional wrecks and moved away from looking at the star. But it is interesting to note that after they made their stop in Jerusalem and were redirected through the Word of God, that they got back on the road. And there it was, the star, to refocus their journey. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with overwhelming joy. In other words, first the truth, then the emotion. As spiritual magi, as faithful, wise men, wise women, wise children, as real disciples of Jesus, we are called on to stay focused like the wise men on that star, to stay focused on Jesus and his teachings. We're not to chase after emotional squirrels or buy into our own personal political rallies. Rather, focus on Jesus and the star of his teaching and his word. Hold on to those promises that have been and continue to be given to you through the waters of holy baptism, through the nourishment of his holy supper, through the proclamation of his holy word. Seek his truth in your life rather than be distracted by what the world thinks and says and feels and does. We need to be relational people, but only after we are Christ-centered. Because when they saw the star, they rejoiced with overwhelming joy. And after they went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshiped him. It's difficult to say how much the Magi knew as they worshiped Jesus, the Savior King. The Greek word for worship here is the same word for worship, though, that's used throughout the book of Revelation. It's likely, then, though not certain, that they knew Jesus to be who he is, that promised Messiah. We do. We know for sure and certain because of the work of his Holy Spirit, setting up his very throne room in our hearts, that this King Jesus is the promised Messiah, that he is your Savior and mine. That's why we focus on him, why we worship him, why we hold on to him. For he is the one born King of the Jews to redeem his people. He is the one raised from the dead that we too may live a new life. He's the one who has prepared a place for you and will come back and take you to be with him where he is at. So don't go looking to energy drinks for focus. What you're feeling right there, that is pure, focused gospel joy. Amen.